Welcome to the Recovery Centered Podcast, a space for honest conversations about healing, hope, and the journey through mental health and addiction recovery. Each episode, we sit down with people making a difference, from therapists and researchers to change makers and survivors, now to explore what recovery really looks like in the real world. This podcast is produced in collaboration with Beachway Therapy Center. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. It's Tim Roberto here, your host of the Beachway podcast, and welcome to another edition of an enlightening, informative, recovery-based, educational-based. You name it, we take care of everything here. I feel very fortunate to be here. I feel very fortunate to have my guest today, Tom. I met Tom as a client.
Yes, sir.
And I'll let Tom do some of the rest of the introduction. And, it's just, you know, I'm grateful to Beachway. There's a lot of people grateful to Beachway. We have a wonderful reach, a big reach out into our community. And I love doing these podcasts. I think they're great, and we get a lot of great feedback. But the bottom line is my goal is that one person. If I can just reach that one person. So with that being said, like I said, I'm honored to have Tom here. I'm looking forward to an awesome addition to the to our podcasting here. And with that being said, Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it. Well, I really am humbled to be here. I'm really happy to be here. When you asked me to do this, I was excited, a little nervous at the same time. But like you said, if there's something that I have to offer, something I have to say, that one person, two people hear, and get something out of it from my experiences, my trials and tribulations this past, especially this past 12 months, 13 months in recovery, then it's worth being here right now.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you know, really I watched your transition. I watched you transform, and I watched you take advantage of what Beachway has to offer, and you were just a phenomenal, kind of like a you're kind of like a natural born leader. I don't know if for leader, you know, you're when you commit to something, you seem like you know you're willing to do whatever it takes, and I watched you grow, and I watched you change.
Thanks. Well, I tell you that my experience at Beachway was phenomenal. The team there is really good, and I'm not getting paid for this, so I can freely say that. But the clinical team is amazing. You included in that the different styles, approaches to recovery, the advocates that are there, like Tammy and Samantha, even the techs. I mean, it was a great approach to recovery. Albeit it was my third time doing it last year in a calendar year, I was ready to listen to what they had to say and to be vulnerable about the reasons why I was drinking. But my time there was very, very much time well spent. It really was. And I'm blessed to be able to go back and facilitate the H&Is on Sunday nights. And pick guest speakers from my AA community down in Delray, which is an awesome feeling. And I get to know them, and I can bring them. They can give their message, whether they have a year of sobriety or 28 years of sobriety. It's really nice to be able to do that and then stay connected to Beachway as well. I like that.
Yeah, I think it's really great. Like, that's part of the mojo. It's part of the secret sauce is remaining connected, right? Because, you know, treatment is kind of like a disruption, right? It disrupts the cycle of your current cycle, and it kind of resets you again. But, you know, you can't stay in treatment forever.
No, you can't.
But what I heard in that, and by the way, we definitely don't pay anybody.
Yes.
Because as you can tell, the way I broke into this podcast, it definitely wasn't rehearsed. I can feel myself stumbling a little bit. But that's okay. You'll never get a filter with me. You'll never get any editing with me. I want you to know who I am and why I love to do what I do. And sometimes it's just not going to flow like that, and that's okay too. But what I heard was, I think, you know, I was like, I got to tell them how cool that is, because it's a different voice. It's a different message. It's a different perspective of somebody that's out in the community. Like, out of the recovery community, you know, Beachway, like, it's orderly, right? It has a distinct schedule to it. And that's for a reason, right? There's a method to the madness.
Absolutely.
But that you know, when you guys come in and bring the meeting, you got people recovering from the outside. I think that's like the cherry on top.
Yeah, and people love to join me. 100. They don't even hesitate. You know, it's a half hour drive and they're just like, when you want me? And I've got people booked for the next three Sundays. It's just, it's wonderful to bring different, you know, men, women, yeah, different times. Last week was my sponsor, 28 years. He and I had a great drive, yeah, talking together. It really is good. And my time at Beachway, I mean, rehab brings you down, settles you down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Starts looking at the reasons why I was drinking, the symptoms.
You know,
alcohol is a symptom. But they really helped me dig down and find out the reasons why I was drinking. Why was I to keep putting my head back on the stove? And, you know, I went there twice, right? So I went for 2 weeks because I had it figured out,
yeah,
and I left. And then, I don't know, 3 weeks later or so, I got up and I said, it's a good day to go get some help today.
Okay.
And I went back and, you know, just my conversations, yeah, with Tammy and with Brian at the beginning just made me realize I need to be more vulnerable about what I'm doing here, not just process.
Mm.
So I had a lot of life changes, massive life changes this last year and a half.
Mm.
Sold my business, kid moved on, my kids moved on. So empty nester, that's natural circle of life,
yeah,
but still,
yep,
they
yep,
moved on.
Yep.
My one son is a Marine, I told you, he was in the Middle East when all that stuff was, yep, going on. COVID, drinking got worse. I ended up losing my fiance. So just massive changes occurred. So I came down to Florida in beginning of 2024 when my road led me to Beachway. I was ready to surrender, to give in. And I know that's an industry word to use, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know, I told Brian, I told Tammy, I said, I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm not going to just process my sorrow, my loss.
Yeah.
I'm gonna understand it. I'm gonna be vulnerable, yeah, about it. And Beachway, real. I was ready for it, but Beachway had just the people there really zoned in on what I was doing, and it really helped me a lot. That allowed me to get back to my network of people in AA. So the fellowship of AA was always important to me last year. I never lost that, even when I had a relapse. So I got right back into that fellowship because it's the people of AA that it's my higher power. In addition to God. So I find it very vital to be able to have AA in my life, to have the people in my life from there. So things that we can do inside the walls, inside the rooms, but also the things that we do outside too. You know, and that's what I'm realizing is and doing now is I'm doing more things that are normal, sober fun, you know, that a year ago I wasn't even thinking of because I was too busy fighting the process.
100%.
It's just so easy to fight it, you know.
And before we started recording, you and I were talking about you know, like the fellowship, the kinship of the meetings and how, you know, you're that living example. Like, you know, a lot of people have misconceptions or preceptions or perceptions of AA or any fellowship, church, you know, any organized self-help group. You know, it's, I think we were talking like a lot of this stuff all boils down to fear. But, you know, I think it's wonderful that you're bringing it back because even, you know, it's a program of attraction, right? Not promotion.
Right. Absolutely is.
And then that's the secret sauce because there's something about that, you know, that is the attraction and what you're doing right now with your recovery, I think is incredible.
Yeah. I've heard the word cult used as well
with cult.
Regards to it. You know, to compliment what you just said, there was a client at Beachway last night at the H&I, and when we opened the meeting up, he made a comment about God. He doesn't believe in any religion. And then I had a chance to share, and I kind of zoned in on him, and I said, look, I never read the whole line. It's God as I understand him.
Mm.
So I rejected AA too because of that. And I said, if you do that, you're going to not give yourself the opportunity to see what that fellowship can offer you in recovery.
Mm.
I think it's really important for you to get over that or at least push that aside and realize what AA has to offer. And whether or not that struck a chord or not, I'm not sure. But I needed to just open my mind up and my heart up to what they have to offer. And it's some of these people are my close friends now.
Correct.
It's my new tribe. You know,
it's amazing. You know, when the mind becomes willing, the possibilities of different information, different flows of information, different perspectives, how they're processed differently. Kind of like when somebody comes in not well physically, say an alcoholic, you know. you can't really work with an alcoholic or somebody that's, you know, addicted to drugs until you straighten them out physically.
Yeah.
Then you can start working on their mental state, right, or their mental well-being, because the message, right, the mind is more receptive.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like AA, NA, CA, any type of A, church. Mm-hmm. I know for me, you know, like when you read Bill Wilson, if anybody doesn't know who he is, he's the one of the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, he was rough around the edges with God, too, and that's why they put his story in. And then we also, there's also a chapter there to the agnostic. But what I always find interesting is when somebody becomes willing, how the rest of it just starts formulating and it starts coming together. Like, oh yeah, I work with a lot of people, and I would never shove anything down anybody's throat. But but what I do always try to do when I have the appropriate time, right, when the timing's appropriate, you know, is it God you're mad at? And if you're a Christian, or is it the people in the church that you're mad at? Because God, a.k.a. Scripture, what I read in Scripture is not what I see people in the church doing.
Right.
And that goes, no disrespect, this is just a general conversation. Any other religion that follows an order, that follows, literature, what I read in literature and all these wonderful, wonderful establishments is not what I see going on in the mosque and the churches and the temples. You know, it's just a good sign to see somebody coming in from the outside and, hey, this is who I am. Yeah. This is what happened.
That's very much the way I treated. I'm Roman Catholic, and I was very active, K-12. Strong faith, and I had problems with the priests in my parish back in New York, and went off to college, and I was an excuse. I took it out on God. I took it out on the religion itself because of these priests. They're human, and I stayed away from the church for decades because of that. And by opening my mind and my heart up to higher power and allowing God back in my life, just every day we touch base with each other. I went back to confession after 40 years, after I did the fifth step. And it was unbelievable, the weight lifted off my shoulders. It was definitely a spiritual moment. But, you know, I'm not a practicing Catholic now, but I'm a, you know, as the priest said to me, the prodigal son's come home. And it's just a good feeling to have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, but I do incorporate God into my day every morning.
And you meet God, group of drunks, right?
Here we go.
So, yeah, like I remember when you came back. I remember when you came back. And then I remember when the magic started to happen for you was the one time you got emotional. I mean, it was more than one time in my groups, but.
Yeah.
You know, the first time, and I said, for me, thank you, God, he's starting to change. He's starting to become more willing. He's starting to not fight as much. Because anytime somebody shows emotion, especially an alcoholic, I mean, everything's good and fine, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And to see you starting to expose yourself, to start getting vulnerable, that's the miracle.
I can remember several times where, you know, and Brian, my therapist, was very instrumental in saying, let it out.
Yeah.
You know, be vulnerable. Yeah. Don't process, you know, because that didn't work too well, processing. So, but yeah, I remember the times there where I just kind of felt more at ease with the whole process. And by just crying, just letting it out. And you know, there's a lot of sadness. And Paritosh's way of saying it was, you know, you want to be here, but you're here.
Mm.
And in between is pain and sorrow.
Oof.
And as such, you know, certain things that you said, Paratrice said, Dina said, Brian said, and they all kind of came together and, you know, made me realize is like, I got to stop blaming other people for where I am and be accountable and accept that I made these decisions and it's okay to be where I am right now. I would love to be retired with my former fiance in New Jersey, visiting the grandkid and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not, I'm here and I have a good life.
Yeah.
I have a good life, but
yeah
I do remember. I remember this experience, this time with, at Beachway, is when I became much more vulnerable about it.
And you showed, like, and you are too, you know, we're all very resilient. Everything we need to know is already in us. And you showed that, like, you took advantage of every little crumb that Beachway had for you to pick up. And then so you could make your own cookie, kind of, you know, like, you grabbed a little bit of everything, man. You showed up, you were on time, you were due diligent, you did your work, you had a phenomenal therapist, Brian.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
You know, I'm sure you guys did some incredible work together, and he showed you how to move through, how to start forgiving yourself. Because alcoholics, you know, we're not bad people. You know, the stigma out there, that's one of my goals, and I know it's, you know, on your heart too, is to represent recovery and to speak out loud and show up out loud. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean in a yelling voice, just loud, like, I'm in recovery, and this is how I did it. And then because we're not bad people. We make a lot of bad, and alcohol makes alcoholics make bad decisions, but we're not bad people.
No, there are a lot of good people. I mean, everyone's a good person, really. It's just a matter of the decisions that we make. Exactly.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm glad you got out of that little box there.
Yeah.
You know, and
the stove was hot every time I put my hand up on top of it. Every time. You know,
once it went in.
Well, it was 40 years of a progressive drinking, you know, starting in college pretty much. And then you know, all of a sudden you're supposed to stop that and listen to someone else. It's like, that's really hard to do. It's really hard
and
to
stop something that's always been there for you.
Yeah. And I thought you went away for 30 days and then you went home and everything was hunky-dory. You know, I literally had no exposure to this, to recovery.
Yeah, it's very
no clue about until I said, I got to do something.
It's a serious contender.
It really is.
I mean, it's an illness. You know, I used to battle it, illness, because I would never accept that because I was weak then, you know, or something to that effect.
Right.
But the more you educate yourself and the more you learn about it, you know, it's a serious condition. It's a serious mental health condition. You know, they used to call it a disease. Now they upgrade it to a brain disorder. And there's so much research on it. And when you start looking at the brains, like the brain mapping, and you can see, like, over a long period of time.
I did brain mapping. Yeah. Yeah. Acute distress order. I'm like, really? Yeah. I do? I have that?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's pretty wild. And it takes time to learn about it too.
It does.
You know, so and the alcohol, the AA model, you know, of the spiritual malady that comes into play as well.
Yeah.
And how to change that in your life. How to be more spiritual too. And for me personally, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous provides me with that avenue to do that. And but yeah, it's a very difficult change, and no wonder why there's a lot of people that, you know, keep putting their hand on the stove.
But when you say you were working with Brian, so you have a clinical process and then you have a spiritual process, because I look at somebody like your primary therapist, Brian, that's a clinical process and that can be a very powerful, very life-altering, life-changing experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so do you feel that was the catalyst to getting back to AA, because they're two different.
Yeah.
Like, did the clinical process help you accomplish things that maybe a fourth and a fifth step wouldn't, or maybe going through the step process wouldn't have?
Yeah, it's a good question. The nice thing about working with Brian is he brought in some of the big book into some of our sessions, whether it was caseload or the one-on-one.
Mm.
And I call it getting page 27 in the big book. And Brian pulled it out, and it's about the doctor talking to his patient about saying, I've never had, you know, an alcoholic like you where this spirituality transformation worked. And that was the first thing he hit me with. But then we went to the appendix, which provides you with a solution. And so he would incorporate some of the AA thoughts and techniques into his clinical approach, but without a doubt, you know, he spelt it out for me.
Mm.
He put it up on the whiteboard. You know, he talked to me about it. He pulled things out of me. I mean, I loved our sessions.
Yeah,
I absolutely loved our one-on-ones, and the caseloads were great too, because
you
got to work with others. But without a doubt, the clinical approach mixed in with some AA, you know, like some of the Paratosh, he would, you know, he'd always see me with my big book. He'd say, open to page 25. Let's read that page. And he'd bring it in and send them in totally different angles, totally different approaches, his versus Dina's versus Brian's. So it was a combination for me. So even before I relapsed, I was very active in AA in Del Rey. I mean, I didn't lose that. Mm. I didn't lose the feeling of, you know, the promises. Mm. I was just confused.
Yeah.
So once I got back into the community and I had learned the things that I did from Brian and from you and from Dina, it was really, it just kind of melded together into, mm. to form a solid ball. And
yeah, it was your time.
It was, yeah.
Right?
I mean, you know, on top of being tired,
yeah.
It's my time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's
always
on time.
You know, it's just, there's a plan. There's definitely a plan. Yeah. For me. I had to go through all that, I truly believe,
yeah.
to get to where I am with more confidence. It's only 112 days. Let's keep that in mind. That's pretty much a pup in the recovery world. But yeah. I learned so much that I can take with me for myself, but also for others. And that's what I look forward to doing when I start
that.
Sponsoring. Yeah, once I get
sponsored. Yeah, and it's like, you know, on top of the clinical, on top of your process, on top of, I think the staff is, maybe I'm biased, but.
You're biased, but that's okay. They're good.
It's a good bias.
They're really
that
good.
That makes
yeah.
sense.
No, that's good.
They're so committed. They're so, like, the just so, what a bunch of great people,
yeah.
you know, and
top to bottom, all of them.
Correct.
All
and the
them.
And the core have been there multiple years. You know, our clinical director,
yeah.
10 years.
10 years.
And Brian,
yeah.
over 10.
Yeah.
Dina, 7 or 8. I'm in my 7th.
Yeah.
Even the cook, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Rocky's been there for 8 years.
Yeah. There, like, and even the kitchen staff was great. You know,
weren't they phenomenal?
Just, everyone cares for you there. They really do. And I think, I'm sorry to interrupt, but
no,
I think the people that turn around and complain about the staff are the ones that are going to fight about anything.
Correct.
You can stick them in any rehab facility.
Correct.
They're just
going to
bitch about, whoops. So they're just going to complain about anything. And if they're complaining in there,
yeah.
they're going to complain out there too.
Correct.
So, you know, but that's a path. That's a journey for us all to take.
And they're far and few between too, to be honest with you. You know, for all the years I've been there, compared to that, you know, for the amount of people that we have, the amount of clients, you're going to get that one or two. But
sure.
They're far and few between.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think it's just the whole ball of wax. Like, you know, we're in a sad state. We're in a lonely state. We're in a depressed state. And then I come to a place that just reinforces that distorted state that I think I'm in because the sheets stink or the thing's dirty or they throw you know.
Yeah, they give me a 19-year-old to sleep with, sleep in the same room with. Splendid. Thanks, Jason.
Or, you know, just like a grease-filled sandwich. Or
complaining about anything. They're going to complain about everything and anything, so.
But Beachway just has the complete opposite, like, you know, we've created a space to where, you know, there's really not much you can do except get well.
Yeah.
I mean, you got equine therapy, you got a pool,
mm-hmm.
you got yoga,
right.
you know, massages,
but
right?
But it's acting out because of you brought it up before when we were talking about it. I said control and you said fear.
Yeah.
And it's the fear of it. It's
yeah.
the fear of recovery and what it takes. It's a life change.
Yeah.
If you don't have a massive life change, if you're a real alcoholic or drug addict,
yep.
you're going to have problems.
Yep.
Simple as that. If you go back to the same pattern. So the fear of knowing what that change is going to be.
Yeah.
I drove, I'll stay on point here, but I left New Jersey in September. So that's when we sold our place. And I went back home to basically move my life. The whole, everything.
Yep.
Just got in the SUV, loaded it up. Furniture was gone. And I was just emotionally a wreck. It's what led to this last relapse.
Mm.
I was just distraught in this sense of what I'm leaving behind. The fear of where I was going. And then when I was, you know, on the highway, I cried.
Mm.
I just was like, just everything is back, was up there. You know, my life.
Complete defeat.
Yeah, at a 59 with a successful business and 2 healthy kids and all, you know, like you're thinking, what the heck, what are you doing now?
Yeah.
Like, where are you going?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew where I was going physically,
yeah.
but
yeah.
where is life
yeah.
taking me?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
there's a lot of fear.
Yeah.
So when you're addressing that in a rehab facility, I mean, yeah, you know, sure, by control. I'm not in control of my recovery.
Mm.
But yeah, it was a great point you said. It's a fear.
So we gave you everything to get back on your feet again.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And
it was
like,
all there. It was always there, you know, but just reminding me, reinforcing things,
right.
listening to Brian. That's one of the things I said I'm going to do.
Yep.
I'm going to listen to my therapist.
Yep.
Like, you want me to do a collage at age 59? Really? He just looked at me and goes, you do
well,
what you think.
That's definitely not fear. That's ego.
That it's, Really? I got to do this? Sorry, Brian.
Sorry, bro. What'd you say? Sorry, Brian?
Sorry, Brian. Yeah.
Hey, Brian. How you doing, buddy? Sorry.
I did it, though, and I'm really glad that I did it because it was very impactful for me.
Yeah.
It was really impactful. So those kind of tools, like the basic little things that you kind of
laugh
at.
Maybe that was a planned thing for you, too. You know, let me see what this guy's willing to do.
Yeah.
Let me mess with his ego a little bit. I want you to do a collage.
That's basically what he told me. He was like, I wanted you to make the decision that you needed to do this. You know, the things about letting go of New Jersey, looking toward Del Rey. There I am clipping pictures on the floor in the clinical building.
Yeah,
putting it all together.
Yeah.
And it.
I love Beachway, man. I love the methods that, you know, each person uses.
It's just distinctly different.
Oh my gosh, I find it kind of like, I don't know about fascinating, like intriguing, you know, like how all these minds work, all these different minds work that just, you know, they get bombarded with a lot of negativity, a lot of darkness, a lot of unfortunate situations, a lot of, you know, domestic violence, trauma, like our trauma therapist, gosh, you know, the level of dedication has got to be intense, you know, and, you know, that compassion fatigue. You know, like for me, I think it's either you got it or you don't. Because if you got it, you're going to practice self-care. You're going to do what you preach.
Yeah.
Because self-care has to be one of the, you know, one of the things that you start doing on a regular basis, disciplined. And, you know, you do it so much, it just becomes part of your discipline, or maybe not a daily routine, but enough.
Yeah, well, for me, where I am now, it is part of my daily routine.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm very routine in general.
Yeah.
But it has to be. For me, it has to be part of it. When I get up in the morning to what I do.
100%.
Go to a meeting every day.
And it's like a different kind of hard.
Yeah, there's sometimes
you know
I don't
want to. Like when you're hungry, you know, you're reminded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
That's like, a great way to look at it.
You know what I mean? You get reminded.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to eat. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But the self-care thing, I never heard of, you know, hey, you haven't, I'm caught up in work, or I'm caught up in a relationship, or whatever.
Easily distracted from it.
Easily.
Without a doubt. And I'm blessed right now where I am retired. I don't know if I'll stay retired, but I mean, I'm not in a rush.
Yeah.
So I'm blessed to have the time to work on my self-care. You know, and that's first thing in the morning with my readings that I do and some prayer to a meeting and to my volunteer work now. You know, I'm working with two organizations where I do volunteer work.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal to be able to give back and not have to worry about a paycheck right now.
So, is it a fair question to ask you? I think it's fair. Are you just as busy as you've ever been? Or, you know.
Not when I was working, but.
You're pretty busy, I bet.
I'm pretty busy right now. I just added another volunteer thing. I was telling you, I'm going to go walk some dogs after I leave here today. But it's great because I can do things that I'm connected to.
Yep.
And so, I have like three
or
four.
A lot of purpose in that stuff, too.
It feels good.
I know what you're doing as far as you're connecting and volunteering. We all want to feel needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have that desire to connect, right? I think it's inherently wired into us.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful, man, that you're really taking the ball and you're really running fast right now.
You used the word purpose.
Yeah.
That's one thing I struggled with for a really long time was, you know, when you get up and you go to work and you provide for your family and you provide for your staff.
Yeah.
You know, for decades we had people working at my company. There's a purpose there.
Yeah.
You know, there's enjoyment in making money, but it's also about taking care of people in your company, and then all of a sudden that's gone. You know, 500 emails down to 10 emails a day, I struggled with finding that purpose.
Mm.
And, you know, when I came out of Beachway and went through the year that I went through last year, just lost, you know, fighting, you know, advocating for, you know, my control and my fear. Now I realize that, you know, for me now the purpose is recovery, but also giving back where I don't have to say, you need to pay me for that, you know, and you know, the military thing that I do is really
awesome.
One of my sons active in Marines. So I'm connected to that.
Semper Fi.
Right. And then, walking dogs, you know, it's just that they need help. The people at this Palm Beach County place, they're like, we need people to come in here and help us take care of these things. So it's a win-win situation in both cases. And then learning more about your cause, you know, what you do.
Yep.
And then I can do anything I want to do now. And yeah. That's the beauty of it. So
yeah, and anybody that gets you, man, they'll be very fortunate. They'll Thank be you. Very well. You're good. You're a good man. You have a good soul, and you're smart. You're witty. You're quick, and you, like you said, you know you. Not only have you employed yourself, you provided for a family for multiple years. You provided for other people, and those other people had families. Like, yeah, you're a tremendous resource.
Thank you.
Out in the community, and I think you're gonna. I think you're gonna make one of your biggest contributions than you have in the last 50 years or so. I believe that because yeah. you're just in a different space.
Yeah.
And there's in a different space, there's different frequencies and transmissions. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe, not saying that you never were, but I think, you know, with gratitude and that the spiritual, presence and, you know, mm-hmm. doing good, going to meetings. And did you have, like, I hope you had tons of little moments at Beachway, but did you have any... Did you have a real one that you know you'll never forget that was just like, ah.
At Beachway?
Yeah. Like, I'm 59 and I've never had.
Yeah, it's the breakthrough with regards to mourning and understanding the reasons why, the pain of change. I can remember the caseload that I was involved in. And it was the collage. It was literally collage. It was not necessarily doing that, but I had to go through all my pictures. And when I was doing that, I was going through all of the pictures of the reasons why I was sad,
yeah.
You know, where yeah. I lived, Sandy, who I was engaged to, and I put it together in a collage. But when I talked about it, that's when it really hit me.
Oh, wow.
Really emotional. I knew the people in the caseload. We would become close.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was able, and they were very vulnerable with me. So yeah. We were a very tight, protected group,
yeah.
subgroup. And I remember it. I remember the emotions that I had that day, and I remember feeling so much lighter when I walked out of that meeting.
Took a lot of rocks out of that backpack.
Yeah, it felt good to be sad. Yeah. You know, it felt good. It's okay to cry. Yeah. You know what I mean? A big tough guy, right? Yeah, and you know, amongst a lot of other little things that maybe weren't as pow as that, but I can remember being in Power Tosh's class and, you know, being in Dina's class, reading an impact letter to a woman.
So what were you? Were you playing a role?
Yeah, I was playing the husband. I was playing the husband, and you know, there was a point in time when I was married, and my wife was alcoholic at the time, and I wasn't alcoholic yet.
Mm.
A long time ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm reading this letter to her, and I could see my ex-wife sitting in that chair, and the impact she had on our family, and it's just, you know, it's very
deep.
There's a lot of things there that just make you think, make you ponder, yeah. and make you realize. You know, we got to make some changes here. We got to change the way we think.
Yeah.
But without a doubt, there's a lot of little snippets along the way. But that was the biggest one. And then outside of Beachway was just last week doing the fifth step with my sponsor, going through that again, realizing, you know, taking the accountability of my actions.
Mm.
So those are things too outside the walls of Beachway that have helped me.
Mm.
Just accept where I am and to just feel lighter, feel better.
You know, you make me think of the, you know, when people say, geez, how did you get 18 years? You're celebrating. Mm-hmm. How did you get that? And I just heard it. And there's a lot of these things, you know, you probably relate to this too. I think we can all relate to this, you know, all these organizations, whether it's treatment centers or doesn't matter. You know, they have all these little sayings, you mm-hmm. know, and then it's like, you know, like, you guys.
Some of them are a little rough. Tired of them. Yeah. Acronyms.
But when I start thinking about it, I'm listening to you. And then, of course, I had the experience with you. And then somebody asked me, and I always just say, you already said it. What do you mean? You already asked me how. How do you spell it, right? H-O-W. It's honesty.
Open-mindedness
and willingness. I heard it all in these last, 40 minutes or so. And I guess I can't stress that enough. But I also think, too, like, you know, when you're trying to figure out the problem with the same thinking that created the problem, good luck.
Good luck with that.
And I think all these tactics, like, say, a collage, when I can put my ego aside and actually start doing something, you know, it goes from, I'm 59 years old. To on the backside of that, as him saying, is one of the most powerful all because he was willing to show up. He was willing to make himself vulnerable. He started doing it, and I believe I'm not in that process anymore of that part of the mind that's trying to figure it out all the time.
Yeah.
To just being authentic in the moment and letting the moment transmit the result.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're in the moment, you're starting to see certain things come together because you're doing a collage and you're processing it different.
Absolutely.
Than being
I was willing to do it.
Correct.
I was very willing to do
and
it.
And I think that's kind of like, oh, okay, let's turn off that switch and let's do the willing switch. And
yeah.
Let's take him on another journey, and that's going to change his life.
It's a perfect example of what I think most people that go to rehab facilities struggle with is just their willingness to just be quiet and listen to what someone else. The saying is none of us came showed up there with a winning streak, right? Like, we're literally sitting in the chairs of a rehab facility thinking we know what is best for us.
Something's not working.
It's like going to the doctor, you know, and you have a disease and you say, well, I know what's best for me, doc.
Yeah.
You don't know what's best for me.
Yeah, I used to get...
So you got to be... Maybe, and that's a journey to get to that stage.
I used to get so annoyed when I go to Barnes & Nobles and I wouldn't see my book up on the shelf, you know, how to be number one in life.
Right.
You know, I used to take it so personally.
Yeah. It's all about me.
Yeah,
it's
you know, I kept going to Home Depot for ice cream, you know. I was wondering why I couldn't find any ice cream. And then I walk out all upset.
The Home Depot ice cream one, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Timidisms.
I got timmed.
What advice would you give somebody that's just beginning, Tom? Just starting to come out of the gate?
Yeah. That's in a rehab facility? That's at Beachway or
yeah,
in general?
Yeah, just starting their recovery journey.
Well, I would definitely, you know, there are a lot of different programs to be part of, right?
Mm.
I mean, AA, there's SMART Recovery, there's Dharma.
Yep.
No matter what you do, you can't do it alone. You just can't do it alone.
Mm.
It's impossible, I think, pretty much.
Mm.
I really haven't heard or met anybody who said, I recovered all by myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm back in the normal roles.
Yeah.
I think you need a tribe.
Yeah.
You need people. You need to be part of like-minded people. And be around sober people.
Mm.
It's really simple.
Mm.
I like AA for that reason right there. You know,
yeah.
It's just a good group of people that care and want you to get better, you know?
Yeah.
So I think you got to listen to the people in your tribe, but you need to, as my sponsor said, if you don't go to the train station, you don't get hit by the train. So you got to put yourself in good places with good people. And I think the second thing there is, if you are in a rehab facility, if you are at Beachway, you got to listen to your therapist, all the therapists.
100%.
You got to listen to all of them because they kind of know what's going on.
Have a fabulous education, right? You have to get a minimum of a master's degree, right?
Right.
Then you have to get licensed, and that licensing process is a 2-year process by somebody who's qualified to be a qualified supervisor.
They also have the experience.
And they have the experience
of seeing the people that come through and do succeed and don't succeed.
A therapist who's been 5 years, say, working, let's just use Beachway, right, at Beachway.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much and how many clients have come through in 5 years, but the education that those clients give a therapist when you do it over and
yeah.
over, you could never get that out of a school.
That's huge.
It is.
And
right?
I can see it the way they spoke to us.
Correct.
Is that they have experience. They have candles on their cake with regards to recovery.
100%.
Yeah. So it's that's
because everybody's got worth.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to give you a chance to smash a myth about addiction or mental health. Any myths you want to smash in regards to that?
About addiction, I think the biggest thing is that you could always have controlled drinking or drug use again. I'm coming from the point of view, obviously, of someone new into it. I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to drink anymore, but I'm okay with doing this particular drug, or vice versa, whatever you want. I'm not going to drink liquor. I can just drink beer occasionally.
Yeah.
There's that thought or that myth in some people's mind that they can do this. No, you can't. It's complete abstaining.
Mm-hmm.
Am I answering your question?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, it's just the fact that if you're at this point, if you're alive, you've already tested it out. You've always tried to do the controlled drinking.
Like if you've gotten to the treatment stage.
Oh, without a doubt.
Level, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Like, yeah, at that point, you know that you're a real alcoholic or a real addict.
Right.
And I hear so many people talk about, well, I'm still going to maintain smoking marijuana, but I won't be drinking alcohol at all.
So it's like switching seats on the Titanic.
It's just like that. And that's where they need to understand how the brain works. Yeah, you're going down. Either way, you're going down. You might be up in the, you know, the top deck, not down in steerage, but you're going to get there sooner or later. And I tested that. Yeah, I did that last year. Yeah, I was 100%. Like, oh, it's, you know, a medical marijuana license. Yeah. I'm okay.
Yeah.
And all you're doing is trying to trick your brain.
But there's people that can take medications as prescribed, isn't there?
not marijuana. Sorry. Not marijuana. Not pills. But
so looking ahead, what gives you hope for the future?
I like to work with people. I like to help people. I look forward to becoming a sponsor. Probably in a month or two. I can't wait to have an impact on someone else's life.
Yeah.
I look forward to making some amends in people in my life that I've hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a grandfather. I have a one-year-old granddaughter. I have two wonderful children, two young men. I look forward to explaining things, developing relationships with people in my life, I guess is a better way of saying it. I'm looking forward to working on those relationships. They're solid, but just having a much more deeper level of relationships with them. So, and the beautiful thing is I'm 59, not 89, right? I got a lot of time left. You know, I got a lot of time to do things then find out what that next purpose is. I want to do something in the industry.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that is yet.
Even if you're 89 and I have to roll you into a meeting, I will, Tom.
All right. If I'm still kicking, I'll be there.
I'll ask you to speak for me.
All right.
And I'll make sure it's like a beginner's meeting where there's more younger people.
Yeah, they'll love to see me at 89.
Well,
yeah,
I could prove my point, right? Because I don't think age has anything to do with this when you start talking about loneliness and fear and depression and anxiety and shame and guilt. And I think all that man-made would just go away and they could be like, oh, I can relate to that. I can relate, you know, like this. Does time or years really have anything to do with depression, you know? Like,
yeah. We all have the same common denominator.
Correct.
It doesn't make a difference.
We don't like how we feel.
You know, the age or what your drug of choice is, it's the same common denominator.
Do you have an email? Like if somebody wanted to reach out from the podcast, cause this thing goes way it has a wide net, sort of.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like an email they can get you?
Yeah, you want me to say it right
now?
Yeah, okay. I made it nice and short. Honus Wagner. 1965 Honus Wagner 1965 at Gmail.
Are you on social media like Facebook?
I'm
or
on
something?
Facebook. Yeah, I just do Facebook. I keep it simple.
Yeah, that's good. Simple. Yeah. And how did they get you on Facebook? If somebody, hey, I love what you wanted to say. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, you look up Tom Wagner and
there he is.
Delray Beach.
I mean, look at the head of hair he's got. So
right?
You can't miss that.
I think they're gonna call us bookends.
Guys like me notice, you know, when people have a really good set of hair.
Yeah,
know?
Right?
Hey, I'm going to wrap it up. That's another session. Hopefully we gave you at least one thing that you could grab today and contribute to that cookie that you're looking for or that slice of bread, however you want to put it. You can reach me at tim.r@beachway.com. I'm Tim Roberto. I'm all over social media. And until next time, peace and love.